This podcast was sponsored by Panic Brand. Panic Brand is a modern apparel store for the modern meme machines of 2020. By using the link in the description below, you'll get a discount, and a portion of that goes towards High Tech Low Life, your favorite YouTuber. And there's plenty of outfits to choose from, there's plenty of shirts to choose from, and I'm sure you'll find one that you'll like. All right. Welcome to High Tech Low Life, where today I have for you a new brand new host. Say hello to Butterific.
Butterific Butterama.
Yeah, that. Now I'm and returning is Elroy Jenkins and Kay.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's get down to business. A lot has happened since the last podcast. Some, I wouldn't say cataclysmic, but some, like, earth-shattering. Now, let's talk about the small stuff. What is the worst game that you've actually ever played?
Superman 64.
One that I can actively remember is Echo the Dolphin on Genesis. Not a fun time at all.
It's hard to say. For me, the worst game I think I might have played was probably Superman 64, probably.
Yeah, it's one of those games that you think, oh, how bad can it be, until you get to that one part and then you realize.
What one?
I think I got to flying through the rings, and that's the moment I realized how bad it would be.
I never got past flying past the rings. What about you, Budgerific?
I think, so it's not actually a bad game, but looking back on it, it was kind of not good. With Digimon World, like with the whole like poop mechanic, like that was just weird now thinking about it. But like, I haven't played a lot of bad games because I make sure I play the good ones. Or I guess, like, I'm looking through my Steam list and it's a lot of weird games that, like, they're not particularly bad, but they're just not good. That makes sense.
We're going to talk bad games. I can remember playing the infamous product placement, Pepsi Man.
I know what you're talking about.
The infamous game that's all about product placement called Pepsi Man. You're literally this steroided Pepsi mascot looking fellow, and the whole point is to run through random neighborhoods collecting Pepsi cans.
Oh yeah, Pepsi Man.
That sounds terrible.
He actually shows up in Fighting Vipers for the Sega Saturn.
But not only does he show up, I actually met him at MAGFest. There was a Pepsi Man cosplayer.
Ooh.
They gave out free Pepsi. Actually, it was a good costume, but still a bad game.
Pretty cool. Dude, pretty bad game, though. All right, now let's... Yeah.
But the thing is, at least we didn't necessarily game in an era where just about anything was given a video game, because everything from 7-Up's old mascot Spot to Chester Cheetah has had a game, but that might be another talk for another time, product placement and gaming.
We could just do product placement, period.
There you go. For a future episode, there you go, product placement, coming soon as a topic.
Also, yes. In movies, it's unreal.
That's true, especially pinball machines.
Man, if you want to talk about movies, we should talk about Transformers. Now that's some product placement there. And not even good product placement. You know what's good product placement? Wayne's World.
Yes, Wayne's World. E.T.
I'm going to be honest with you, I've never watched E.T.
Me neither.
Well, E.T. was all about the Reese's. That's the product placement. All about the Reese's.
Ugh.
Reese's, like, Peter Cups?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, those are good.
I like that.
And then Men in Black was quite obvious because that helped Ray-Ban become very popular. That was the sunglass of choice in the Men in Black series.
I did not know that, actually. That's news to me.
Same.
But that's why I said we can save for another topic. You're talking with someone who majored in advertising once upon a time, but that's for another time.
Yeah, and then also product placement in anime, too. Like, that's pretty big. Like
Pizza Hut.
Oh, God. And then
product placement one. You... Yeah, man. Product placement. Let's save that for another topic for our next podcast. In the meantime, though, let's talk about Apple's new announcements on September the 15th. For those of you who missed it or just don't know about it, Apple announced a new Apple Watch. So Apple announced a new Apple Watch, as well as a new iPad Air and iOS 14. So what are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on Apple in general?
So I'm strictly an Android person, so I'm not that familiar with Apple in general, but like the Apple Watch, like looking into it, it seems like it has a whole bunch of like new functions, like monitoring your sleep patterns, and like for some people that might be good, but for me, I'll take a pass.
Of the developments, the iOS update seems like it could be somewhat respectable, but I have my concerns in regards to what Apple is doing, especially with all of these subscription services that they're trying to bundle together for like $70 or $80 a month. That kind of uses a red flag for me.
It's an extension of software as a service. They're just trying to make everything that can be a service.
Well, once you buy something once, it's yours to keep basically forever. And, you know, quite honestly, Adobe is admittedly ahead of the game when it comes off like that. As much as I personally hate Adobe for doing such a thing, they're ahead of the game when it comes to that. And I'm just hoping that that doesn't come to pass. Like, VPNs are like that too. And so are like things like Netflix and YouTube Red, Hulu.
YouTube Red is, if it still exists, it's on dying legs because their library has been bought out or ceased to exist now.
See, I still use YouTube Red, but mostly just to listen to music in the background. But as for like the exclusives, like I don't care about that. I just care about listening to music in the background.
See, YouTube Red gave me Cobra Kai, so I can appreciate that.
Fair enough.
Isn't that on Netflix now?
Yes, that's my point. That's why I'm like, either the original series have either concluded or some other streaming service brought them out. So that's why I'm like, YouTube Red is basically, you know, it's not, who knows how much longer it's going to last.
As long as I can continue listening to my music, like, you know, like going down the road without having to have my phone all locked, like, that to me is its main function.
You could do that with Spotify, though, could you not?
There are some stuff that are not on Spotify because they're region locked. Music from an anime series called Lapis Relights is actually region locked on Spotify, but I can listen to it still on YouTube.
That does make sense. They've been region locking music since like forever.
Yeah, like they finally got Love Live in, and I'm like, yes.
Now that's a topic in itself, because region lock is more extensive than just music. We have all had issues in terms of gaming, but that's another topic for another time.
Pretty much.
It's in the history of digital media, man. Also, I can also hear you typing in the background when you, yeah.
For me?
No, I'm Elroy.
Okay, my bad.
Sorry.
It's all good, man. Also, I do want to talk about the future of Apple rather, you know, as you know, Apple is moving away from Intel systems in their Macs and moving to custom Apple silicon, you know, by ARM. Speaking of ARM, NVIDIA just bought ARM for $40 billion from SoftBank.
I was doing some reading on that. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine.
But I was doing some reading on that. I think that it gives NVIDIA like a huge edge. However, I was doing some reading about like kind of like the global implications of that. So, like the U.S. Is limiting China, especially the tech company Huawei.
Huawei.
I'm sorry. I didn't know how to pronounce that. Well, anyway, we're putting restrictions on Huawei to get like chips from the U.S. But ARM originally was British. So, like, are they going to be subjected to NVIDIA's American laws, like to where ARM can't sell chips to China, or would they be subjected to British laws, which are a lot more lax on that front?
If I'm not mistaken, I don't believe NVIDIA's. Oh yeah, it is headquartered in America, so mm-hmm. I would presume that, you know, since.
But so ARM said that they would still stay neutral, but it comes under scrutiny of import laws.
And I can't say it will be in this case, but most times in acquisition, the parent company will have the final say so, most of the time.
Yeah, well, it sounded like ARM is basically, they kind of like acquired the company, but ARM's still going to operate as ARM, so it's hard to say.
So basically what you're saying, Budgie-rific, is that ARM would become an NVIDIA brand, essentially.
Correct. But they will still sell to NVIDIA. They will still be able to sell to NVIDIA's competitors. So it's a weird situation in my mind.
Anyways, I didn't mean
to cut everybody off.
It's fine. So what the implications are for this is that NVIDIA has been trying to, you know, break into the processor making machines and processor making like industry for quite some time now, and you know, they have a series of ARM chips that they make called the Tegra series. If for the unfamiliar, the Tegra chips used to be on like older Android headsets, and like the Tegra, there's a custom Tegra chip actually in the Nintendo Switch, which is ARM based too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So I believe that NVIDIA might use this to get the upper hand in terms of getting their processors out there. And also, I mean, like the most popular like processor makers that like use ARM designs are like Qualcomm processors, and they're in basically every North American phone there is.
Like, I'm just going to throw something out there. Like, what happens if NVIDIA started getting into, like the mobile gaming? Like I know, like, we already have, like, stuff like Razer phone, like mobile gaming phones. But, like, you know, if we break into that further, like with the combination effort. Just an idea.
It's very possible. In fact, in fact, companies are trying to take this more seriously, though I believe that they would require some way to, you know, just remedy the fact that just touch inputs for traditional style games don't really work. And I've tried playing PUBG and like Fortnite and stuff on the mobile device, and it feels miserable. Oh my god.
So I've been playing a game called Day Day Life Spirit Pledge, which is kind of like a side-scroller type fighting game. Anyway, like the input commands are just awful. Like, cause it's like sometimes like there's like turn time that I feel it doesn't. Like it's like, I swear to God, I'm like trying to turn around. No, why isn't it responding? But if we can get that smoothed out, I think the future of mobile gaming would be set.
Any final thoughts, Elroy or Kay, before we move on?
Just that ARM really is ubiquitous than people really realize it is. If it's smaller than a laptop, ARM's involved, probably.
And also, I would just add that this is also indicative of the fact that NVIDIA wants to branch more into AI, so they figured this acquisition was a perfect opportunity to do that.
Wasn't NVIDIA's new graphics card trying to introduce some AI into it, the 3080?
Yeah, NVIDIA has been trying to get into AI. Actually, I think that's actually their most profitable like venture so far. All right, so let's move on to the next topic at hand. Are you guys ready?
Hey.
Always.
All right, so. The next topic at hand is PlayStation and Nintendo announcements.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. I feel like I keep speaking over you guys, and I'm so sorry.
It's fine. You'll get used to it. Before I talk about this, how many of you guys have actually managed to order any new consoles?
So, not yet. Like, I want to order a PS5 just for Final Fantasy 16.
I am going to be checking out GameStop tomorrow because they are supposed to be getting some more pre-orders in. I even signed up for Sony's pre-order from the website, but I know we'll get to that later in the show. But yes, I've tried, but wasn't successful.
What about you, Kay? Have you even attempted to pre-order an Xbox or PS5?
I didn't really see any launch titles that really jumped out at me for either of them.
I tried to pre-order a RTX 3080 for review on this channel, and no luck there, obviously. So we'll get into that later though. So any particular, so PlayStation games, let's talk about PlayStation first. I do need to pull up a list.
So I'm just going to start off with Final Fantasy 16. I saw the trailer for that and I'm incredibly impressed because one, the lead developer that works on Final Fantasy 14, which is the MMO, is going to be like involved in development with this, with 16. And there was a lot of callbacks to 14, and don't get me wrong, 14's still going strong. So I'm hyped because there was a LOL DRG joke or a LOL Dead Dragoon joke in the trailer. It's not a joke, but it was kind of hinted at, and they rendered Shiva spectacularly.
Yeah, sorry. It's fine. So, among the other things, Demon's Souls is obviously the game looking forward to the most. But if you notice in the trailer that they originally uploaded, it said at the end that it's coming to PC and quote-unquote other consoles soon. So I'm holding out. They did grub that little section eventually, but I'm still holding out for a PC port. I'm almost certain that I want that to get on PC. I mean, that it's going to come on PC. There's no way they would just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the developer does normally release it on multiple systems as well as PC eventually.
Anything interest you, Elroy?
I was disappointed by the launch titles, but I am optimistic in regards to some of the franchises that may be forthcoming to PS5, so I'm still just going to continue to try to get that pre-order, and if not, I just get one when I get one.
So another title that I had seen come up for like pre-order for PS5 that I don't know if it's actually going to make it over into the States is Neptunia, because I'm not going to lie, I enjoy all the Neptunia games, so like, if nothing else, I will probably pre-order for that as well.
But I will offer a suggestion for those who will be getting a PS5. If you are and you plan to get Spider-Man Miles Morales, PS4 would not have free updates. So that's just something to think about.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Spider-Man Miles Morales on PS4, the updates will not be free. So if you're getting a PS5, if you want that particular game, get it for PS5. Don't get it for PS4 because the updates will not be free.
Yeah, that kind of sucks, especially because since Xbox is offering free updates for all of their games. And it seems that Sony wants to push this $70 as the new like norm for like brand new video games. Like what do you think about that?
Well, I thought that they issued a statement where they said that the gaming prices would vary.
Yeah, but it seems that all Sony's first parties want to be $70, except for Miles Morales, since that's like half a remake.
I feel like because the market will allow for it, that's why Sony is going to push if they can for these $70 for new titles.
So unfortunately, I remember when $40 was standard and then we went up to $50 and now we're up to $60. Like, I get it. Like the games are better now, but it's like, can we control inflation?
When we started seeing Nintendo inflating prices, we knew that that was pretty much going to become the standard, because that was the one thing with their consoles. The games tended to be more reasonable in price compared to their competitors.
Do you know how much N64 games would cost? New?
Do tell.
Some of them were $60. First parties.
Yeah, I think I remember, I think it was Pokemon Gold and Silver were $20 or something like that. It was dirt cheap, and I was not dirt cheap at the time, but it was reasonable.
Yeah, man. I like that game. What's gonna happen now? Games are $10 more expensive than were last generation. Also, that's part of the reason why people started justifying the existence of microtransactions in video. Because developers are saying these games are costly to not only develop, also maintain as well.
I would be okay with the games being more expensive if they actually released complete games instead of being oh, we're gonna have like half a storyline and then
DLC.
Yeah, I mean, I would also like to point out there's
different content.
Yeah, I also like to point out there's a difference between DLC and expansions, just really fast.
Yeah, expansions are more of a PC term, if I'm saying, because older like. Well,
and there's nothing wrong with an expansion pack done well because it's a new experience. But a lot of times DLC is just frivolous stuff that should just be part of the game. It's like, really? If I want a new outfit, I have to pay an extra $20? Why?
That's because they monetize it, friend.
But the thing I've noticed, too, especially for those games that are marketed towards children, they're some of the most flagrant in terms of the microtransactions and DLC. Because in particular, I think of the Skylanders series, which I feel is not the best representation of Spyro. Big Spyro the Dragon fan here, the original. But if you look at Skylanders, it's a money grab in terms of all these characters you can buy for $20, whatever they cost. And this isn't on top of the game being $50 or $60.
Well, of course, all the children's games are marketed like that. You target the people that really matter most. Some parents will just buy them whatever, man. We're too smart to buy these stupid Skylanders. Plus, I mean, they don't even make Skylanders anymore, so it goes to show. But look at the soccer games, look at FIFA, EA sports games. You have to buy they're putting all their eggs in what they call the ultimate team, which in which you unpack cards. And you know what you do with these cards? You add them to your team, and I guess they're just better versions of players. Or just better players. And I mean, I'm not sure how it works, but it seems like flagrant pay to win in a game that you already pay $60 for.
Yeah, and that's really eerie. That just sounds like a gacha game, but more expensive. It sounds like a more expensive gacha game.
It really is.
Yeah. It's worse than games, because like at least gacha games, you know. Like my roster may be useless, like maybe in like a year after they release like new content and stuff, but they still have it, right? Like next year EA is gonna release FIFA 2021. And, like, you know, you don't even have all the characters, and you have to re-grind to, like, buy all your characters again, or pull out your credit card, or steal your parents' credit cards if that kind of kid, which I advise you do, if there's any kids listening. It really pisses me off. So, we talk Nintendo's announcements for the Nintendo Switch. So the Nintendo Direct was all third-party stuff. So let me give you a list of stuff that was announced. Monster Hunter Rise, Monster Hunter 2, Ori and the Will of Wisps, Fitness Bond 2, Disgaea 6, Malin Wonderworld, Rune Factory 5, The Long God. Dark, Hades, Empire of Sin, Sniper Elite 4, and I think those are all of the games announced. So big toys are two new Monster Hunters and Disgaea 6. And I guess Ori and the Will of Wisps. I hear Ori is really good. I really should get playing that. Any thought?
I should have played that too, but I looked through a little bit in Nintendo Direct and then Monster Hunter Stories too. So I have never really played Monster Hunter games before, but Monster Hunter Stories 2 just screened I know the Tales series, it screamed those vibes right there.
The gameplay is just, you know, standard turn-based stuff, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the animation style was very Tales. Like, Tales of Symphonia, well, and then Tales of Vesperia and all that stuff. It was those vibes. I can get into that.
Something just murdered your internet connection for a second there.
I was about to say, I thought I heard some. I thought you cut up. I thought it was just me.
Oh man, something. Oh my god, my internet's awful. I might have to redo this thing. But
listen, audience, bear with us as we work through these technical difficulties.
What? Alright, let's call it now. Let me just fix it real quick. This is too much for me to handle. Too much internet to handle too, by my dad. And welcome to part two of this podcast. Something happened to my internet and a lot of stuff just happened. And if you're still listening, that's good. Good. We were just talking about, I believe. Yeah.
You're still kind of phasing out on my end.
Yeah, so we were just talking about, I believe, Nintendo's announcements. Any thoughts on Nintendo's goods? Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, you're still kind of fading out on my end, at least, so...
Yeah, it's cutting in and out a little bit on you.
Are you there, Star Logical?
Hello?
OK. okay, we appear to have lost our logical, so we want to try to keep the show going. Like, once again, we apologize for the technical difficulties. We're doing the best we can.
Yeah, we are trying.
Is it officially time for a coup?
All right, let's go.
All right, next topic. Fall Guys / Among Us.
I admit, I have not actually played those games. Like, I was looking through them, and they look kind of interesting. Like, they kind of, Fall Guys kind of, yeah. Which one? Like, they, I think, was it Fall Guys screams like Mario Party, like a lot?
Fall Guys is basically Takeshi's Castle, or MXC is the dub that everybody knows, the game, pretty much.
I might have gotten them. Okay, no, I didn't get them confused. No, yeah, I feel bad for not, like, actually playing them yet. Like, they seem interesting, like, not gonna lie. So, might have to pick them up.
Fall Guys definitely seems like it's trying to get into that crowd that, like, a party game battle royale. Because I see some party game elements, but it reminds me of battle royale games as well in terms of the free-for-all aspects.
I think that it, for me, I got neither of them because I saw them and I said, man, that's the sort of game I'd play with some of my buddies who have it, but I'd never played on my own.
Yeah, so my laptop just shat itself.
Are you allowed to say that word on YouTube?
Yes.
No. I mean, maybe, but like...
And Starlogical has returned. Starlogical, we were just talking about our most recent topic, Fall Guys / Among Us.
Ah, yes, Fall Guys. It's my, I've actually never played the game, but it looks really interesting.
So what you're saying is we all buy the game and play together now, right?
Obviously. And then we all win in a squad.
We get it on PC, right? Because that's the only thing I actually have.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, do you guys think it requires like an epic game PC to play? I mean, I have one, so I'm okay with that, but what do you guys think?
My laptop should be able to take care of it, so I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, I have both a gaming desktop and a gaming laptop, so I think I'm covered.
What about you, Kay?
My computer can run it.
Awesome. So, yeah, just for clarification, I just actually swapped my phone.
I kind of figured.
Good to have you back with us.
Yeah, sucks that I can't use my sweet microphone, but you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, like I know my phone can do Discord pretty well, but I was like, you know what? I want to be professional and sit on a desktop.
So. Yet again, another possible topic idea. What is your phone of choice?
Maybe Samsung Galaxy.
But you rip it, save it for the discussion. But just another interesting topic.
So I've actually never. So I've also never played Among Us.
And me neither.
So the game is actually a few years old, but all of a sudden it just like exploded in popularity.
You know, sometimes it's like that because at MAGFest. You're talking about a game that you might not have heard of that was extremely popular. Every time you look, people were always on the Killer Queen cabinet. And I had never heard the game prior to MAGFest this year, but it's extremely popular. So it's like that sometimes.
I've heard of it. I just didn't really have much interest as it was like a super rare arcade-only game that I'm honestly probably not going to touch because it's not come to any arcades near me.
Well, if you go to MAGFest... And this is another hint. If you go to MAGFest, you will get the opportunity to enjoy it.
Yeah, maybe, but there's no MAGFest this year, so it'll have to wait till next year.
No, and that would definitely be a good topic. How has Corona impacted popular media? Now, that would be a good topic to discuss further. Because there won't be any MAGFest this year, and nor was there MAGWest this year either.
Hmm.
Are you still there, Starlogical?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
He had to fight off the assassins again.
Yeah, so... Two, Shonen Jump Legends return in 2021. Bleach returns to finish its final arc, and Shaman King, I believe, is actually just reanimating the entire series all over again, but made to be more manga accurate.
I feel like anime is starting to do what Disney does and try to resell us our childhoods. Like Shaman King was good and all, but it's like, I don't like the fact that we keep trying to reboot like series. Like, it's like, there's a lot more stuff that you can start animating instead of just trying to reanimate the same thing.
And for our listening audience that might not have grown up or are familiar with Shaman King, essentially Shaman King is a tournament with those who have the ability to champion various spirits with various skills. It all comes to a head when the Shaman Tournament takes place as they compete to be the Shaman King.
So you could refer to it as a sort of tournament of powerful individuals?
Shaman King!
That's the thing. No. Even though the American opening was epic, we do not need Starlogical bad karaoke. But yeah, back to Kay's point. So yes, they are powerful individuals, but more so the spirits that they champion is where the power lies. Mm-hmm. Even though it is a matter of will as well, but more so what they champion. Because some of these guys wouldn't stand a chance in a battle outside of that, but when they get their champion involved, they can take on an entire army.
Well, I mean, it's also partly how strong the hosts are, too. They're a fairy yoku.
Yes.
Or it's
And it's a matter of how disciplined they are to reach the next level, because bigger don't always mean the strongest. But I'm not going to say too much because that'll spoil something, so I'm just going to stop it there.
Yeah, man. I'm just gonna say fairy yoku is the coolest word that they've come up with for, like, energy. Like, you know, like, you know, chakra, like, spirit energy, ki, you know, stuff like that. Fairy yoku is sweet.
But yeah. I will say... Oh, go ahead, Budgie. I'll respond to you.
Yeah, it's just like I said, like, it's a good series, but I think that if you're going to start rebooting series, there's a lot more series I feel like you should be rebooting. It's just, like, to me, Shaman King did not stand out in my memory. So, that's my bias. Like, I ended up watching the sub version in high school. In high school. Like I said, it's not a bad series. It's just surprising, I think.
And even though I would say I enjoyed the series, I watched it dubbed. That's how I was introduced to it. I would not recommend anybody even consider investing in Shaman King cards. It's something that I thought about while I was in high school, but some other members of the anime club did. And yes, that was just a waste of money. They were that bad.
Yeah, Shaman... You know, there's a lot of changes made to Shaman King from the dub to the from the Japanese version, right? A lot of name changes, first off.
Yeah, but
aside from like a few, and then also, you know, the removal of blood and gore, and also like.
But Star, are you getting ready to get into spoiler territory? We don't want to go into spoiler territory.
No nonsense, not spoiler territory. Okay. There's also the fact that the anime ended, this is kind of spoilerific, but ended totally differently from the manga, because the manga was actually canceled in its original run. And they did, and like a couple of years later after the cancellation, they did a reprint of like the entire series, and also added some final chapters to actually conclude the series.
I forgot the manga actually got canceled, actually, to be completely honest, but
which is kind of why the anime ending is like bad.
Actually, I don't even remember the ending.
I remember the dubbed ending, but I'm not going to spoil it for anybody.
Yeah, man. And so let's talk about the other Shonen Jump anime coming back, Bleach. And unlike Shaman King, Bleach is only going to animate the final arc of the manga that never got animated.
I think the
Quincy Blood War arc, I believe.
So I'm going to preface this by saying I haven't really kept up with Bleach in about 10 years. Anyway, I was watching the current episode aired in Japan around like the Arrancar arc. I think that was like episodes like 140 to like 170 something, anywhere where they kept having fillers like in the middle of the series. So like you have like two episodes in the Arrancar world and then it's like two episodes back on Earth because random filler, which I think they took the safe route in holding off animating the last arc for that reason, because I think that bombed Bleach's ratings.
Well, let's just hope, because we've seen this happen where there are almost a lot of anime that come out recently have some character that resembles Ichigo. Let's hope that we don't continue that trend, because like, why? Like, you pick an anime there, someone that looks like Ichigo. I just something I noticed. Maybe it's just me.
Like, what do you mean by fight Ichigo?
Like you,
I just like, noticed in anime a lot of characters resemble him. Like, it's just, I'm just like, what's up with that all of a sudden?
Generic red like, hair male.
Yeah, he just looks like your average Japanese kid with orange hair.
Yeah.
He looks like he should be part of Tokyo Drift instead.
And the guy's hair has to be crazy enough for two people.
And his hair isn't crazy enough to stand out. Honestly, man, Bleach is at its best when it's not about Ichigo, because like no one cares. Everyone knows he's gonna beat the villain, because that's just kind of how Bleach is.
No, but at the same time, this,
yeah.
Ichigo is definitely on Shonen Jump's Mount Rushmore, excuse me.
Oh yeah. It used to be part of the big three. Naruto ended on a good note, and Bleach ended on a less good note. And all that's left is One Piece. Don't let anyone ever tell you that there's a new holy Shonen Trinity. There's not. And there never will be.
I mean, don't they also have plenty of other very popular series?
Yeah, Shonen Jump, and not all of them are fighting manga too. Like everyone's favorite. There's a ton of like the rom-coms too.
Isn't Rosario Plus Vampire and Two Lover U Shonen Jump as well? I think they're like part of Shonen Square, I think, but it's still like underneath that same umbrella.
Yeah, they're published by Shueisha. Yeah, I think Rosario was actually published in Shonen Jump.
It was.
And
like part one.
And as we're talking Shonen Jump, we haven't had a hot take. Can I give a hot take real quick since we want to talk Shonen Jump?
Go for it.
Go for it.
Sky High was better than My Hero Academia.
Bellroy's about to get on his Sky High kick again.
Oh no, I don't know. I don't know if I want to listen to this, but I'm.
Oh no, you're going to listen today. You all are going to listen today, because let's just be real. The one time the mouse could have did something epic, they dropped the ball because it was already had everything it needed to be My Hero Academia before it existed. You had a compelling story. You had interesting characters. The main character essentially was Midoriya, except for he had a different name.
I thought the movie was I didn't think the movie was that interesting. It was trying to emulate like the old like template of Spider-Man like back in the day, but it came a little too early, I should say, before the whole superhero boom did.
But see, that's the problem. They had a gold mine, didn't know how to handle it, and then My Hero Academia come and it's like, oh, people forgot about Sky High. But like I said, that's the hot take one of the hot takes for next episode. But I'm good now.
Yeah, and I'd argue some other movies came too soon too, such as like Watchmen.
I think Atlantis came way too soon. Like Disney's Atlantis: Lost Empire, that one came way too soon.
Oh yeah,
I like that movie.
I liked it too. That has to be one of my. I think that has to be my favorite Disney movie of all time, and I mean, the community for it's just great. Like it's. I'm going to trail off topic like really fast, but there's a meme posting page on Facebook of Atlantis: Lost Empire, and even the devs are in on it.
Well, it got a direct-to-DVD sequel, didn't it?
Oh, we don't talk about that. We try to pretend like that doesn't exist.
It always just reminds me of Treasure Planet and what happened to that.
I think they're written by the same people. I think Tab Murphy.
That might be a good topic to explore as well. Bad movie sequels.
All of them.
I don't think Treasure Planet was a sequel to Atlantis, was it?
No, it was not. It was completely separate.
Yeah, I think DreamWorks.
I won't say all sequels are bad. But we can discuss that. Movie sequels, love them or hate them.
Yes. Speaking of Bleach's ending, this is about to get into some super spoilerific territory. So skip to this timestamp, which I'll figure out later what it is. But like, spoiler alerts. Ichigo hooks up with Orihime. And I think that's the dumbest thing that could have ever happened.
I haven't even paid attention to Bleach, but I knew that, and I'm just like, he's supposed to end up with Rukia, please. Like, that's like my OTP.
Like, we have a mutual friend that's all about these dumb ships, and I'm not going to mention him by name, but he knows who he is.
Whenever we talk about the friend we don't mention by name, it's always the same guy.
If it is who I think it is, yeah.
Yes.
No matter the topic, it's the same guy.
Who we may have as a guest on a future episode, so just stay tuned.
If we can get him. He's a little busy with his California lifestyle. Speaking of which, that's the dumbest thing. I don't really focus on ships in like stuff like this, but that's just the worst. That's just the worst possible ship ever.
Yeah, I used to be all about the ships when I was younger, but it's just like, no. Rukia, best girl, hands down.
But I mean, if we're talking about anime ships, it's clear for Midoriya that... Oh, never mind, forget it.
He ends up with Bakugo.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go there. I don't know.
No, Uraraka is best for him.
No, Bakugo is.
Uraraka.
No, clearly...
Mile High Club.
Clearly, All Might's the best one for him.
Yes. No. All Might just has a harem of him, Bakugo, Uraraka, and what's his face?
Froppy. Oh, wait, Todoroki.
Yeah, Todoroki too. Todoroki. All Might just has a harem. Case closed.
Haram. So let's move on to the next topic at hand. Malware and ransomware. So are you guys familiar with ransomware in particular?
Yes.
You know what it is? I've never encountered it yet, knock on wood.
So, for the uninitiated, you're going to see this a lot. I'm going to ask you guys if you know, you're going to say yes, and then I'm going to explain to the audience anyways.
So, for ransomware, a perfect example is if you had a friend or family member that get the famous email, I'm stranded in insert random country. I need X amount of dollars. Please help.
That's not ransomware.
No. Ransomware is when something locks down equipment. Generally, what it'll do, it'll encrypt your hard drive unless you pay them money to get the code to unlock your hard drive.
Okay, never mind. Sorry.
Yeah,
I think what you're describing is more like phishing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's phishing. So recently, a patient dies after ransomware hits a hospital.
Oh.
And this was in Germany, too.
Yikes.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, hospitals run Windows PCs. How do I know this? Because I work in hospitals. And I'm not going to say much more besides that.
There's stuff on this topic I can talk about that I'm not going to.
Oh, man.
But nothing like, directly related to my work, just things I've heard.
Like, so ransomware is dangerous because there's no cure for it once you're afflicted by it, aside from just paying the fee or formatting your computer and losing whatever data that you might have had on there. And the encryption, from what I'm told, is actually pretty good. A lot of people can't crack into it, and I believe the police aren't even able to crack into the encryption, right? Is that correct?
Usually I think they do like a 256-bit AES or something, and yeah, you're not getting past that.
Yeah, and so, like, I mean, it's a good way to get money, but you know, you lose all your data. I mean, I came across it once back when I was in elementary school. Thankfully, we didn't have anything important on that computer, so we just reformatted it and did everything. But yeah, that was a scary experience. And oftentimes it's like they don't like pretend to be like, oh, hackers and stuff. They pretend to be like the FBI or something. They'd be like, oh, we've seized your assets. You have some shady stuff in your computer. Give us money or we'll arrest you or some crap like that. You know what I'm saying? They really try to play up the urgency.
I mean, that's the point. You're trying to make this a quick process. It's not to be long and drawn out. It's basically either we ruin your existence or you give us the goods.
I mean, the WannaCry virus that was pretty big a while back, I can't remember how many years that was now, was a good example of ransomware. I mean, the issue is sometimes companies get hit by this or, you know, organizations, and they pretty much have to pay it because they don't have backups.
I think this didn't WannaCry hit like an Iranian nuclear facility at some point.
That was Stuxnet.
Yeah, I was about to say that's Stuxnet.
Which was kind of cultivated by a government, if I remember correctly.
It's crazy stuff, man. Honestly, the most I can say is just learn your security.
And back up all your data.
Yeah, like, anything important. Always have a backup. You can always get physical backups. That's the thing too. So like, you can always copy stuff onto like a hard drive and such. And a lot of companies do a sort of 4-stage or 3-stage backup, I believe. They have the data and then they back it up onto a drive, and then they ship another drive with the data away at an offsite location in case, like, you know, a fire comes and destroys their property and stuff. And so companies should learn to teach their normal employees security, you know?
Yeah, bro. Should.
And people should learn to be more tech literate in general, especially since more and more of our lives are becoming more filled with tech. Which is why these discussions about technology are pretty important. So, any final thoughts on malware?
Not really from me.
I think this was good to give people the basis for what it's all about.
Okay, final thoughts?
No, I think we covered it pretty well.
All right, let's move on. Pre-order madness. And there's so much stuff that's been put up for pre-orders and been sold out. For instance, your RTX 3080s, your Xbox Series X and Xbox Series S, and the PS5 digital and disc edition.
You mean the piano key console? You mean the top hat console? You mean the tuxedo mask console? The penguin console?
The router console?
The ice cream sandwich console?
Man, yes, that console. And I believe the RTX 3090 is poised to come out in pre-orders as well. And what are your thoughts on all of this? I think we all know what the culprit is. We all know who's behind all of this.
Fear of missing out?
In Sony's case, they scooched the pooch when they pretty much admitted they did that properly prepared for just how many people are going to try to get a pre-order. I mean, I know it's a scavenger hunt. Anytime a console, when it's first released, there's a limited amount, but they should have had some idea or came up with some type of mechanism to, even for those that have to get their consoles on back order, because they should have known the demand was coming. It's not like they didn't know that a lot of people are going to try to be one of the first to get the console, whether they actually want to play it or try to resell it, because it's going to be such a rare commodity at first.
Oh, yeah, it's just like, knows. Oh, sorry.
It's just, It's just like the Nintendo Switch, like even now, like Nintendo doesn't know how to budget, like how much, like their demand, because yeah, like Nintendo Switch is still having problems being like kept in stock.
I mean, do you want the bad news or the worst news?
Sure.
Go with the worst first.
Yeah. It's intentional.
Yeah, I know.
Nintendo is a toy seller at heart, and one of the business models that you'll see is intentionally make sure that demand slightly outpaces supply, and you'll never have to worry about overstock. That's what Nintendo does. That's what Subaru does. That's what a lot of toy manufacturers do.
Now let's be frank with the Sony mess up, because let's be quite frank. Even if Sony had done it as planned, we all know who would have gotten the PS5s. All the scalpers, all the people with bots. And you know who else got them? All the influencers, all the like big tech influencers. I've seen so many Xboxes and PlayStations unboxed on people's channels. And you know, they're like the big YouTubers too. And if we were a bigger YouTuber, I bet you we'd get all those consoles. We'd get the, if we could make it to be as big as they are by the time the PS6 or Xbox whatever comes out, I guarantee you we'd be one of the first to get it. But yes, there's no way to win against these guys, especially because they have the technological advantage. They have the bots. They pay to scalp all this crap, and you know how they make money? They sell them online for like exorbitant prices.
I can remember when PS3 came out, a guy in my high school was one of the first kids to have one. And while he just paid retail for his because he actually used it as a console, if you went on the internet, you would literally find them for $600 because PS3 was like $300. So these scalpers would literally be able to sell it to somebody for double or more.
Wait, I thought the PS3 started at $600, dude.
Okay, let me take that back then. So they were $1,200. Okay, maybe I'm getting mixed up with other consoles.
Yeah, it was $600. I remember that because of $599, Giant Enemy Crab, and Ridge Racer.
Yeah, that's part of why Microsoft overtook Sony, the last gen. Speaking of which, there's no way to win against these guys. And heck, you know what? I even looked into getting some of these bots myself. You know why?
So really want one? Out.
Like, yeah, kind of. Yes, for the graphics card. I mean, not for the consoles. The consoles come later. I know it will.
I know a guy at work was looking into getting a 3080, but because apparently the 3080 is a little bit cheaper right now than the 2080, like the previous graphics card, which we find weird, but the price is probably going to go back up.
Well,
hot take, I don't know why anybody bought a 2080. It was kind of a tech demo.
People just got to have the latest and greatest, and that was kind of, well, the 2080 was technically the latest and greatest until the RTX Titan came out. Oh, but yeah. People just have the money, and they want to get the best graphics whenever possible. Like, every 3 years? And if you can sell your graphics card in a timely fashion, you are able to, you know, basically finance your new graphics card. It's basically, like, $100 extra every, like, 3 years at that point, if you're able to sell it at the right time. But yeah, I'm not too concerned about getting a brand new console. I think I'd just rather buy a new one, but used. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of fiscally unresponsible people that buy these consoles thinking that they'll be able to have a grand old time, but they realize they can't afford it, or they can't afford rent. So you can just buy it off them. Is it kind of scummy?
Kind Probably. Of. No, like but... I guess I don't want to get a PS4. I'm not going to lie. I've just been slacking.
I didn't regret my decision to wait to get a PS4. I'm glad I didn't get it right away.
Like there are a few JRPGs I want to play on it.
Persona 5.
I've never gotten into Persona series. But yeah, I think I played like the first hour or so, and I was like really impressed. But then I was just like right now I just don't have anywhere to put a PS a game system that's not the Switch, because the Switch stays in my back.
Yeah, I bought the PS4 for like $120 off of some guy that realized he had to be just get.
So there's that. And my PS4 had its primary usage was as my personal Bloodborne box. I haven't played God of War or The Last of Us 2 or I got Horizon Zero Dawn on PC though. And I also haven't played Death Stranding either. So yeah, the only PlayStation exclusive I've played this past generation is Bloodborne. Speaking of which, any final thoughts before we move on?
Hello.
No.
Like I said, like my only thoughts are Lola still need to get PS4 because or something that's not the Switch. But I'm just waiting for everything just to get ported to computer.
All right. So next topic. Let's talk Ghibli films. What's your favorite Ghibli film, first off, everyone here?
Ponyo.
Wait, how do you pronounce her name again?
Ghibli?
Studio.
Is it Ghibli?
It's Ghibli.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Hang on.
Spirited Away.
And is definitely Princess Mononoke.
I haven't seen that one, but I've been trying to work my way through some of them recently because I realized I hadn't watched many of them. I actually ended up watching Nausicaa last night.
Yeah, I've only seen Ponyo and Secret World of Arrietty, but so by the way, it's actually not Ghibli, it's Ghibli.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's Ghibli. It's Ghibli because I looked up the hang on. I will send you guys a link to the wiki. And yeah, it's Djibouti. Djibouti.
So it's like pronounced Jif.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is.
It always goes back to Gif or Jif.
I say Gif just because I'm stubborn.
I mean, the guy that invented the Gif
said Jif.
No one cares about that nerd.
Bro, when you can develop your own animated picture file system, you can name it whatever you want, bro.
Yeah, anyways. And then everybody else will call it something else anyways.
Exactly. Welcome to the internet.
Tomato, tomato.
Potato, potato.
So,
salmon or salmon?
So yeah, I've never seen Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind. Is that?
I haven't either.
That's like it's the pretty first good. That's like the first one, right? The first one before
1984 release?
That's like before they became Studio Ghibli. They were like it's actually Toei, if I'm not mistaken. It was technically published by Toei, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Yeah.
The guys that animated Dragon Ball.
Toei also has its hand in a lot of things. I want to say it has its hand in the new Digimon reboot. Well, I don't want to say it actually has its hand in Predicure.
In what now?
Predicure.
Predicure?
Precure.
Precure?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It has its hand in Healing Good Predicure. Which is basically the Sailor. It kind of runs parallel to Sailor Moon.
I'm pretty sure Toei did Sailor Moon too.
Yeah, but Pretty Cure is still. It's like on this like 25th iteration now. Ugh. It's actually really good. They've gotten better.
Speaking of,
and don't forget, Toei was also responsible for some of those series we may have grown up on, like Power Rangers, VR Troopers, Masked Rider, at least for the U.S. audience.
Yeah, they were responsible for like the Japanese version of the Super Sentai. We didn't get a real Power Rangers, I don't believe, until Z Ranger.
And if anyone didn't know, the original Power Rangers was splice footage. They would shoot certain footage here, and then they would just use the Sentai footage, like what they did to battle.
Oh yeah, stock footage.
I was about to say, splicing footage into random places. That sounds like every American dub ever, especially like Sailor Moon, Cardcaptor Sakura, and like all that stuff. Like they splice that super hard.
And if we want to talk about splicing, my personal favorite example, and I know Kay's going to be ready to say I'm about to go on another tangent, SSS Gridman, but it was introduced to me in my childhood as Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
Good show. Would recommend it.
What, Gridman or the other one?
Gridman.
SSS Gridman, and I recommend both of them.
You know that about SSS Gridman was thick thighs.
Did not?
And that technical...
Actually, that was, and I got a chance to actually go to the Anime Expo panel where they announced SSS Gridman and Budgerific. That was the topic of discussion from the creator. Yes, people were immediately noticed that.
Hey, thick thighs save lives.
I only know about Gridman from this man's talking about it all the time, as well as that one girl from Gridman. Speaking of which, we need to get back on topic with Ghibli.
Ghibli?
Yeah.
Budgerific, you should definitely watch the two Ghibli movies that like people try to debate on which one's better. Spirited Away, yes, and I believe Princess Mononoke are the two.
Why do I want to... Did I watch
Mononoke? And don't forget My Neighbor Totoro. You got to put that in the discussion as well.
There's it's so much not, Mark of Totoro.
It's not
about.
My favorite. It's not my favorite.
I think the big one is, I mean, have we all seen Spirited Away?
No.
Yes. Okay.
Never mind.
Yeah.
What? You've never watched Spirited Away?
No, because I never really got on the Ghibli train, except for Ponyo and The Secret World of Arrietty. That's the only two I've really got on the train with, but I'm not big in anime movies, either like standalone or series. Just because they lack a sense of completion, and that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Like, Ponyo, I felt like could have kept going. And I'm like, I want more Ponyo.
I think that's more an issue of the movie rather than right. The medium.
Right. I know. It's just...
I kind of like that, though, personally.
I don't. Like, I like closure.
Like, I get that. Like, it makes a very good follow-up to a series I've seen, like they did with, Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl or whatever.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
I've never seen that.
That one actually made me cry, okay?
I know.
Oh, my God.
I've got people to watch that solely so that I can get them to watch the movie and then laugh.
Yo. Real talk though. Why is your favorite Ghibli movie your favorite? Let's talk about that. Let's start with you.
Okay, you just fell down a well again.
Yay.
Okay.
Alright, I heard the question he posed it to me. I like Spirited Away in terms of animation was exceptional. Really nice story that would hit you in the feels. Proper resolution. There you go. It's that simple.
Spirited Away has excellent animation.
The story is good.
Yeah, but I mean, particularly, Spirited Away in particular has great animation.
And there were some really good metaphors if you caught them, especially when you look at Swine, but I'm not going to say anything to spoil it for Budgerific.
Oh, good. But no, it's just. Like, I think one of these days, I might get, a group of you guys together and be like, so, you want to watch Spirited Away at some point? Like, probably not tonight, because I don't have the attention span right now, but...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I've done that. There's a bunch of my friends. We do that every so often.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done it before, so it's going to be a new experience for me.
Alright, what about you, Kay? I believe... What's your favorite Ghibli movie?
I haven't really seen enough of them to really have a good opinion. I've seen Ponyo, I've seen Spirited Away, and I've seen Nausicaa. I mean, I can see why Spirited Away is, the general favorite. because it has the least amount of things that would make someone just instantly dislike it. I mean, there's certain aspects of Nausicaä that could make someone just not like it, and Ponyo, it's the same thing, but I mean, they're both excellent films. Honestly, I've heard good things about Porco Rosso, and I really want to see that one next.
Have you guys seen Castle in the Sky? Or
oh, I've seen that one too. Sorry.
Howl's Moving Castle.
That's an excellent one.
No.
They're both really good movies.
Oh, if you haven't seen that one, but you've seen Spirited Away, I would recommend Howl's Moving Castle next.
I think I want to say Howl's Moving Castle gets a lot of references to his Japanese title. No, it's Howl's Moving Castle or
It's a French novel, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, it's the name of the island. It's either Howl's Moving Castle or Spirited Away. Castle of the Sky, that's what it was. It gets a lot of references to its Japanese name in anime, so. Laputa?
Yeah. Laputa or something like that?
Yeah, it gets a lot of references.
Yeah, so you never explained why Ponyo was your favorite Ghibli movie. Budger, why don't you tell us why?
So I liked it just because, like, one is it reminds me of my favorite movie growing up, The Little Mermaid. It's just like the aquatic themes, and then it's just I guess just the art and like the underwater themes, because I craved that. Like, I love mermaids, so it was almost like, I wouldn't say like a surrogate for that, but it was just, it was pretty close to that, so I was like, yes, yes. And then there's also the bond of Ponyo and the boy, just, it was so wholesome.
Yeah, and so as you all have heard, my personal favorite is, it's typically a toss-up between Spirited Away and Princess Mononoke, but I think Princess Mononoke wins it out for me. It's for starters, it's a lot different than your average Ghibli movie. It might be more similar to, I guess, is Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind particularly violent? Okay.
Sorry?
Yeah, so I've never seen Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind. Is it particularly violent?
I would say no more so than really the rest of them. I would say probably more violent than, most of the others I've seen, but would I call it a violent film? No. Overall less violent than Power Rangers, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, all right, that's fair. Princess Mononoke is a very, very different Ghibli film. It's violent, and it's depressing, kind of, in a way. It's not Grave of the Fireflies, but it feels like an epic adventure, too, for me. Even more so than Spirited Away. And it's a good way to depict like the change in culture, as well as like a ruin, like sort of ruinous landscape due to war and such. So it's essentially about a boy named Ashitaka who is trying to rid himself of his demon that is possessed to his right arm, or was it left arm? I don't remember. I think it was his right arm. And he has to seek the forest god in order to, rid himself of it, or else he'll die from his curse. And it's a very different sort of Ghibli movie, especially if you're used to like seeing the other like more children-oriented ones. And they've never made anything like it ever again. And it, honestly, it kind of makes me sad that because it's good. I mean, it's kind of violent. Like you see people like lose their arms, and like you see one guy get his like head like taken off, and it's crazy stuff. But it's also probably the best looking one too, and I'll admit it's a little ham-fisted with like the whole like nature like aesthetic that's going on, especially in contrast with the Iron Fortress. But it's a really beautiful film, I think, even more so than Spirited Away, even though Spirited Away is a lot more imaginative, so to speak. So yeah, you should definitely watch both of those, though. Those are probably the top two that most normal people will recommend.
What about the abnormal people? What do they recommend?
Porco Rosso. I should never
see that. No, that's actually probably accurate. The person I was hearing it from, he has some interesting taste in film.
Oh man.
So no, I think you I think that was the perfect answer there.
All right, so let's move on to the final news. Any final thoughts on Ghibli?
Ghibli. No plan. I'm still gonna call it Ghibli just because I've called it that all my life. So yeah, it's gonna be Ghibli.
Any final thoughts? No final thoughts? Alright, so let's move on. Oh, sorry.
No, nothing important. Go on.
So let's talk about this latest news. It's possibly the biggest news to have happened in gaming since, well, I don't know, actually, but it's huge. Microsoft bought the entirety of ZeniMax, you know, parent company of Bethesda Softworks, who also like has a ton of studios working underneath them for $7.5 billion. Any thoughts?
So we know the video game industry is a matter of being reactionary. So it just makes you wonder, what is Sony going to attempt to do to rival this? Because I'm sure somewhere Sony's thinking, how can we make a big splash? Because Microsoft definitely went for the money grab in terms of, you look at some of the franchises they've acquired, like Doom and so many others.
Any thoughts on this, Kay or Budger?
I mean, it just works. Microsoft kind of needs additional things to kind of bring into their market, and ZeniMax was in a good position for that. So, you know, they just saw that opportunity and took it.
Yeah, like my only thoughts are, so if Microsoft got a Bethesda, it's like, can we get new games soon, please?
New Vegas remaster.
Yeah, I'm more a fan of, can we please get like another Elder Scrolls game, because like Skyrim has been with us for about 10 years now, and it's
they're releasing Starfield first.
Huh. I don't think I've ever played.
You know, if you really think about it, Todd Howard just sold Microsoft Skyrim for $7.5 billion.
Huh.
You did.
But really though, Microsoft has been on a acquiring spree. They acquired Obsidian Games. They acquired Ninja Theory. They acquired who else did they get? I know they got a lot of studios. They got a ton of studios.
Are you talking about Microsoft? Didn't they get 343? No, they got 343 was born out of the original Halo creators.
Kind of.
It was weird.
Yeah, so essentially, yeah, 343, yeah, so basically, let me pull up a list, because there's a lot to unpack here.
They also bought Rare from Nintendo back in the day.
Yes, they did.
I'm just hoping that this isn't a death sentence for Bethesda.
Bethesda's been up to?
Probably.
The only way they can go is up at this point.
Yeah, like Bethesda's just kind of just like it's been flying under the radar, because I haven't heard a, like, I'm not, like, in tune with everything, like, gaming, but it's just, like, I haven't heard anything from them for a long time.
So Rare is actually, what happened to Rare was actually the fault of Rare itself, because Microsoft actually apparently just gave them free reign to do whatever they wanted, and you know what, whatever they wanted just didn't work out.
Everybody loves nuts and bolts, right?
And also, allegedly, it was Rare that wanted to go all in on the Kinect during the 360 era, not Microsoft. Microsoft made no such mandate. So let's read all the things that Microsoft owns. Let's see, they own 343, which currently develops Halo. Compulsion Games, which develops Contrast and We Happy Few. Double Fine, which includes Psychonauts, Brutal Legend, Broken Age, Grim Fantasy, They've also required the rights to remaster some games, such as Grim Fandango, Day of the Tentacle, and Full Throttle. And Exile Entertainment. Former Interplay Studios. Wow! They own all three studios that's made... They own companies made by, like... with... all with, like, staff that used to make Fallout.
Nice.
They bought Mojang. Or Mojang, or whatever. For two... Yeah, that was $2 billion.
Damn.
If you really think about it, it was a much better buy. ZeniMax was a much better buy, despite being more expensive, because you got a ton of franchises. You got The Elder Scrolls, Fallout, Starfield, Doom, Quake, Wolfenstein, Dishonored, The Evil Within, Prey, Rage, and Commander Keen, and among others, too.
About half of those aren't really good to buy, though.
Perhaps, but...
What wasn't, like, one of the Fallout games had, like, massive backlash? I think, was it Fallout 76?
Yes. The most recent one. Yes. Yeah, they've had some interesting corporate decisions recently.
You know, maybe Microsoft will fix their bugs. I doubt it. See, Ninja Theory, which created Kung Fu Chaos, Heavenly Sword, and Slave Odyssey of the West, DMC Devil May Cry, I forgot they developed that, and Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. They have Obsidian Games, Playground Games, which makes the Forza series. And actually, they're developing the new Fable series. They're actually developing a new Fable game. Rare. The Coalition, which works on... Actually, you know what? They're no longer called the... They're actually no longer called the Coalition. Actually, they are. Never mind. You know what they do? They make Gears of War games after Epic stopped making them. Let's see what else. The Initiative. Santa Mons. What are they? They're not making anything right now, but they're based in Santa Monica. Turn 10, which makes Forza. Undead Labs, which makes State of Decay. World's Edge, which makes Age of Empires. And Microsoft Game Studios Publishings. So the big question is whether or not Microsoft is going to make Bethesda games exclusive.
They're not. Microsoft is moving away from exclusives.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that would just be suicide at this point.
They're putting Halo on PC. I mean, the exclusives are gone in their book. They've pretty much shouted it from the rooftops at this point.
It's good that they're no longer doing exclusives, because it's like, it's good, like, for somebody like me, like, who doesn't actually buy, like, a lot of consoles. So, like, you know, I have a computer and I have a Switch. That's
it. I think the more important question is, will Bethesda games completely disappear from the PlayStation 4? I know that Microsoft said that they're still honoring some, like, deals that were made prior to this acquisition, such as the deal for Ghostwire Tokyo and Deathloop, I believe that's what the game's called. They're supposed to be PS5 timed exclusives, so Microsoft's still honoring that. But the question is, will PS5 owners just not have Bethesda games anymore?
I don't think they'll get it right away, but I can see like Microsoft, like, doing the thing of, like, oh, we're gonna release it on Xbox first, but we might release it, like, for PS5, like, later on. For some reason I can see that happening. Kind of like how Epic Games released Borderlands 3, like, later on Steam, which I'm still mad about, but we're not going to go there. But, like, I can just see something like that happening. Like, there just being a delay.
Uh-huh. You know, I mean, Microsoft has the... Microsoft, I mean, Fallout and, like, Elder Scrolls are really popular games. I mean, they have the leverage to be able to, like, if they really wanted to, like, shift it in their favor, they could just entirely stop making PS5 versions of these games. Like, and I think Phil Spencer said that they would review games on a case-by-case basis. So it's clear that some games won't come to PlayStation. It's just a matter of, like, what, you know? Like, they're still going to publish Minecraft on all the consoles because, like, you know,
why Minecraft. Not?
But, like, well, I mean, like, what else? Like, they're not, like, no one's expecting them to bring, like, Halo Infinite to PlayStation. Do you know how crazy things would be if Halo came to PlayStation?
Of course.
And also, speaking of which, there's also another rumor going around that actually cropped up today. Because Tokyo Game Show is also coming up, and Microsoft is showing off extensively there, despite their historical irrelevance in the Japanese market. Even back in the 360 days when they were the top dog, they still maybe sold 300 Xbox 360s there, at most.
Then again, when you think of Microsoft, their system isn't exactly known for the type of games that the Japanese are going to necessarily embrace, nor do they try to necessarily do that. So, just something to think about.
Well, I mean, it's not entirely true. Microsoft's made some attempts to get Japanese games on there, like JRPGs and whatnot.
Japanese market is just so much different. Whereas the Americans don't really like the grind, the Japanese live for the grind. Like JRPGs are grindy as heck.
Yes.
Yes.
The one thing I kind of keep going back to is Final Fantasy 14, like where you grind like for all of your gear. And like, yes, World of Warcraft, you do that too, but Final Fantasy, I play Final Fantasy 14, I don't play World of Warcraft, so there's my basis. You grind. And Neptunia, you grind.
I mean, Final Fantasy 14 is kind of different, though. It's an MMO. MMO, that's kind of expected.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoy it. Like, and it's also the differences between the way the Japanese and the Americans play it, but that's a different topic.
Yes, that might be interesting. So I actually never got to the rumor. The rumor was that Microsoft would be buying Sega. And obviously, I don't believe that rumor is true. But that said, I do believe Microsoft is still gunning for the Japanese audience. I think it's almost inevitable that they end up buying some Japanese developer.
So at what point do they become a monopoly in gaming?
Not yet, because, I mean,
Tango's it depends already, on the percentage that they control. Once they get to a certain percentage, then they'll be considered a monopoly.
Yeah, but that's not happening anytime soon, especially since it's still projected that PlayStation's going to win. Speaking of which, what would you, like, could you imagine if Microsoft just bought Sega? Like, do you know how crazy that would be? If that were true? I mean, Microsoft has the money to buy Sega.
Everything.
They have the money to buy the entire freaking industry, for the most part. They're one of the tech giants. You know, like they're a trillion-dollar company, or they used to be at least.
But then again, the question would be: if they bought Sega, would they make those games exclusive to Microsoft?
Of course they would, man. They need to give the Japanese incentive to buy an Xbox. And what better way to do that than to make Sonic the Hedgehog, Persona? Wow, Persona exclusive on Xbox? Do you know how, like...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't even speak of such infamy. Wait a minute. Don't speak of such infamy.
Dude, you know this. Atlas...
I would not get an Xbox just if somehow they did make it a Microsoft exclusive. No, that's just all kinds of no. And you know I love Persona 5. I see what you're doing here.
Yeah, I know. It's called manipulating your emotions. And Microsoft is pretty good at doing that too. Don't forget. But yeah. But like, just imagine it. Imagine it. A world where Sonic the Hedgehog, Persona, the Yakuza games. What else does Sega make that's still relevant? Oh yeah, Phantasy Star Online 2. Shin Megami Tensei, I believe, also would be under that umbrella as well.
Yes, that's by Atlas.
Yes. Yeah, so like Sega being a Microsoft exclusive would be insane on a whole new level. Would be insane on a whole new level. Even more so than like Bethesda, like. And I mean, Sega still makes arcade hardware in Japan.
Correct.
So, like, that would give Microsoft leverage. They could just do everything as Sega in Japan, if that were the case. Because Sega is a reputable Japanese brand, right?
Oh, we you know it.
Yeah.
Oh, don't forget Bayonetta is Sega.
Bayonetta is in a weird... It's still owned by Sega, right? It's in a weird position where it's a Nintendo exclusive, but it's still owned by Sega. What would happen? I have to wonder what would happen, because Bayonetta 2 and 3 probably would not be coming to Xbox if that were the case anyways, because Nintendo funded that game. You know, kind of like how Kingdom... You know?
Can you repeat that? You phased out.
Yeah, I was about to say, you just kind of died there.
Yeah, I had a phone. I ended up getting a phone call to cancel it. But anyways, well, I was saying that Kingdom Hearts 1 never came to Xbox, even its remastered, because Sony funded that game. And I think Sony was still investing in Square Enix.
You died again.
Dang it! Anyways. Sony funded Kingdom Hearts 1, that's why it's on Xbox. And if Sony fund and Nintendo funded Bayonetta, so that's not coming to Xbox. Irregardless of ownership. Now, Microsoft, I do believe, like I said, I do believe Microsoft is going to buy a Japanese dev, but who? Do you guys think that's going to happen?
I'm not sure. It's hard to say.
I think it's going to happen because the way I see it, if you're into like the anime JRPGs, if you're into anything that's not Final Fantasy, basically, and if you're into like anime fighting games or like fighting games, if you're into that kind of stuff, then an Xbox is literally a non-option. So like, it would. So what if they acquire a studio like that? Then it would become an option. Any final thoughts on this?
I have no thoughts on this, so I'm just going to sit this one out.
Microsoft doesn't get the idea that Atlas would be a good acquisition, because that would be a sad day for me.
If the rumors are true, they're not just buying Atlas, they're buying Sega out as a whole.
And yet again, a sad day.
I don't like
the idea of the next Sonic movie, which I thoroughly enjoy being a Microsoft production. I do not want to see that in opening credits.
I think Microsoft gives their developers free reign over them, over like this. So if Sega falls, then it's not due to anything Microsoft has done, as far as I understand. Anyways, I'll see you guys later.